Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 it's your boy Sports Talk DT, and I'm live right here on IFM Radio Nation Season 2, Episode 1 is here, and we have a special announcement before we get started into the show. The show has changed its name, and we will officially be called Sports Talk with DT and Dave. And you might ask, who is Dave? He is my wonderful co-host, my friend, my brother, my business partner. Sports Talk, Dave, what's going on?
What's going on, young fella? You all right today?
Man, I'm doing good, man. I'm blessed and highly favored, man. So we're going to get right into this week's show. The Central Division of the NBA, of the Eastern Conference. What are your thoughts on the Central Division as a whole, Sports Talk?
It's weak. To put it as a whole, you got four out of the six teams in rebuild mode. You still have the regular season champion, Milwaukee Bucks, but when it comes down to the playoffs, as you can see, their depth is not enough, and I really don't think they did anything to prove that statement wrong this coming off season, this coming playoff season. We shall see. The proof is in the pudding. But the Eastern Conference as a whole, the Central Division and the Eastern Conference as a whole is pretty weak. Rebuild mode for majority of the teams.
Okay, great. So if you want to, let's start at the Milwaukee Bucks. They took on the Detroit Pistons last night, and they end up getting out of the gym with a victory, 125-115. Giannis had 30 at halftime. What are your thoughts on the – well, you just spoke on the Milwaukee Bucks. So let's go to the Detroit Pistons. What do you say for a young team that let Giannis get 30 points in one half?
Name a team that really hasn't had let Giannis get his way in the first half. Maybe he hasn't dropped 30 points on every team, but he's pretty much had his way thus far this season. What I see with the Pistons is improvement. They are improving. I give them that. It's a nucleus. Their major nine players have not played together that long. That's the reason for every team. So you can't use that as a crutch for this team. But they're young. They are their main players. Basically, majority of their main players are rookies. Although they are talented rookies, they are still rookies, and they're still learning the speed of the game of the NBA. Killian Hayes, who I've seen multiple reports from Pistons fans are already giving up on this young man, but at the same time, you got to understand this young man is only 19. The NBA is a different beast. He was a pro overseas, but the NBA is a different beast. So you can't give up on him just yet. Maybe starting him right off the bat may have been, and I'll eat my words on that as well, because I was all for him starting as a rookie, but maybe that may have been too much for him to handle. At the same time, given that the core of the Pistons are, like I said, rookies, and they're just learning the speed, the strength, and the passion of the pro game compared to college or overseas games.
Let me ask you this. Now, when you spoke on Killian Hayes, you used the term that he is only 19. I just want to speak to that point right there. I can name several 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old players that came in the league ready to go. I mean, and the fact that Pistons fans want to say, give this kid some time, I mean, we took him 7. I believe you do not draft a person at 7 and say he's a project. That's a late first round, understandable.
No. I didn't say he was a project.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying a lot of Pistons fans are saying he's a project. Give him some time. He's only 19. But there are a lot of 18, 19-year-olds that are in the league right now that are producing and playing very good basketball at a high level. So I don't understand why Pistons fans will use, oh, he's only 19, give him some time as an excuse or a crutch. And there are other 18 and 19-year-olds in the league that are playing basketball at a high level. So we're going to move right along to the Cleveland Cavaliers. What are your thoughts on the Cavaliers? This is a prize team that I really, really like. I want to see what you
I actually like the Cavs, too. I actually like the Cavs, too. I like what they're showing. I like the improvement they've made. I give Cleveland a great deal of credit thus far in the season. They're still young. But I give them credit. They are they're hungry. Their guard rotation is really, really special. The young rookie, I never know how to pronounce his name. Okoro is showing some very bright spots. But if you notice, Colin Sexton is wow. That young man knows how to play this game, and they play this game at a high level. Kevin Love, you know what you're going to get with Kevin Love. Drummond, you know what you're going to get with Drummond. But the Larry Nance Jr. playing I'll say Larry Nance Jr. has won his game up a whole lot. And I just can't say enough about Colin Sexton. The kid is doing work.
Okay. All right. So we got my boy D-Boy on the line. What's going on, D-Boy? How you doing today, sir?
All right. How you brothers doing tonight?
Happy
awesome,
New Year, D-Boy.
Awesome.
Happy New Year, Sports Talk Day. Glad to hear you. Glad to hear from you. And,
I'm glad to see you back because, you know, you missed the last little conversation we should have had about your Warriors and our Pistons, but you know, I'll let that go. 62 for your man. 62 for your mans.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew I was gonna hear something about that.
62
also,
for your mans.
Yeah, setting record.
I have a very, very special guest on the line. He is my friend. He is my big brother. I have coached basketball against him. You know, he's been nothing but a big brother to me ever since I met him. Man, blood couldn't make us related. I mean, he is my friend, my brother, Mr. Emory Wafer of Saginaw, Michigan. Emory, how are you doing today, sir?
I guess he's doing fine.
Well, we don't. Oh,
hey, that's
Emory,
a sniper
hello.
Right there.
Hello,
there you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yes, we can
okay,
hear you.
Okay, sorry about that.
So how you doing today, sir?
Good. How is everybody doing?
Happy New Year, Sniper.
And Happy New Year, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, so, Emory, so we're going to get right to the conversation, man. I'm so glad that you decided to take time out of your busy schedule to join us. And we are live on IFM Radio Nation with Sports Talk with DT and Dave. We have Mr. Emory Wafer. He's live from Saginaw, Michigan. So, Emory, we're going to get right into the interview. Talk to us about life in Saginaw.
Well, far sports-wise or just growing up?
Just growing up, period. We're going to transition in a second.
Oh, well, you know, it's pretty tough. Well, you know, I was blessed to be in a household from a biological mom and dad that taught me how to be a man. So that helped out a lot because, you know, there's a lot of young men out here don't have that in their lives. So that helped me out greatly. And, you know, they provided me with everything as far as, you know, the support for me, as far as sports, school, just supported me everything I do. So, you know, a two-parent household, you know, just coming from a working mom and dad, that helped out a lot. That helped me, you know, from the street smart, being street smart, and then also just dealing with the everyday world, just from, you know, racism, from, you know, presenting yourself, you know, in a well manner, treating everybody with respect, you know, that helped out a lot. And that both came from my mom and dad, you know. But, you know, like I said, Saginaw, it's tough. You know, you have a lot of people that just wasn't blessed that how I was blessed. And so, you know, it it helped me be humble at the same time too. It's like I never just looked down at nobody, never thought I was better than anybody. Just, you know, man, just appreciate where I just came from.
All right, all right, all right. Hey, Emery, so you have been blessed to be a positive role model to a lot of young men, and a lot of brothers, even my age in the Saginaw community. How what do you say that has rubbed off on the brothers that you know across the state of Michigan and on the brothers in the city of Saginaw, Michigan?
Man, you know, one thing that just happened this year that I was very happy seeing, all the cities just coming together. Flint, Saginaw, Pontiac, Detroit, and stuff. Summertime, you know, even though we was dealing with this pandemic, I love seeing brothers come together with no violence and stuff. And, you know, basketball is a platform for anything as far as, you know, meeting people, you know, just you never know when you need a person for help as far as anything, you know, in life, because we all need to help each other. So, you know, this summer, even though, you know, basketball was shut down and everything, when I was seeing brothers in the playground and stuff playing, it was money and stuff like that. But at the same time, just seeing cities just coming together, I thought that was huge.
It was,
you know, even though the gyms were shut down and stuff, we still was coming together in this basketball platform, getting to know each other. You know, it wasn't no violence. Yeah, it's always going to be a couple things that's happened. Nothing's going to be perfect. But at the same time, you know, I just love seeing that, just all of us coming together. And I thought that was just huge for 2020. All the bad things that happened, I thought that was number one, seeing all black men coming together. And, you know, basketball was a platform. And, you know, I don't know if anybody else saw it, but that was the biggest thing I seen in my eyes. And, you know, I think all of us need to just take that and run with it, far as, you know, business, far as, you know, just brotherhood, just period. And that was the positive that I seen. And, you know, just from, you know, meeting you and other people from Pontiac, it's like I'm just – y'all welcome me with open arms when I come there now. You know, at first, of course, you know, when you're out of town, you feel a little shaky. But just me coming in Pontiac now, it's just like I feel like it's like my second, third home now. It's like I feel welcome. Everybody show love and stuff. It's like the city just grows on me, you know. And I really appreciate that from you, you know. Dave, Ephraim, y'all opened arms when we first came in y'all league, and it just built from there.
All right, awesome. So, Emery, so we're going to jump right into this conversation about, or actually we're going to pick up where we left off at right before you called in. We were discussing the Central Division teams, and we were on the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we're going to go to you first, and then we're going to go to D-Boy. Since Sports Talk Dave already gave his opinion on the Cavs, what are your thoughts on the Cavs early throughout at this point in the season?
You know, I heard y'all discussion talking about the Cavs, and everybody was hitting – everybody made some valid points, but it was one point that – it was one thing somebody just didn't say. I think the biggest move was moving Darius Garland, running the point, and putting Sexton on the off guard. I thought that was huge. And the reason is, huh?
Why do you say that was huge?
Because Sexton, he go run the point from time to time, but I think Garland has just a better IQ as far as just running a thing, and I think that freed up Sexton to do what he can do, what's best, and that's just being an all-around player. And I thought that was just huge for them, and you could see the progress what they did this year. You know, the rookie, he's showing talent. And, you know, they got some veterans, you know. Drummond, he's stepping up. But you always going to get that double-double for Drummond. But Adam McGee, you know, these young players are surrounded by some veterans. I think that's huge for them. That's why I think you see the fast start what's going on right now is you see the veteran leadership with the youth. And you know. So I was actually surprised seeing it, but at the same time, you know, when you have veteran leadership that been there, you know, been through the trenches, I think that helps the young core as well.
Awesome, awesome. D-Boy, what are your thoughts on the Cavaliers?
I mean, you know, I'm not really a Cavalier fan, but they doing pretty good. They doing like how they supposed to be doing. They progressing and everything. And I'm a pick. I like what Emery said about how they did the switch up with Garland and the other guy. So, you know, with them veterans, but, you know, with them type with them type of veterans that they have, only thing that I could actually see them really doing is just like moving up a couple of levels. So we're not really expecting too much from them, anyways. But they're doing pretty good right now. As of right now, let's just hope that it lasts for them.
Multiple reports came out today that Dante Exum will miss 1 to 2 months. How will his absence come into the play of the Cavaliers, or will or can the Cavaliers get along without Exum? Fourth fuck day.
They'll be fine without Exum. They'll be fine without Exum. Their core of Love, Sexton, Garland, Drummond will carry them through. Next man up, we always hear that on every sport. But this actually will become the case because, like I said, the aforementioned foursome that the Cavaliers depend heavily on will carry them regardless if Exum was there or not. He'd be a nice piece to help, and he will help once he returns. But that power four is going to carry them. And don't forget, you got some other guys. Once one guy goes down, it gives an opportunity for the next man to come in and help out, which would be Damian Dotson. If you don't remember, Damian Dotson came from New York, and Damian Dotson has some offensive skills. So it's not like they're going to have a real big drop-off from Exum with Dotson.
What I was going to say is, like, you know, by them being so by the team being young and they still trying to find their look, you know, by Exum being out, that what the four that's going now would give them another look, another version of their team. Like, you know,
right,
he won't be in for a while.
All right, Emery, same question. Will the Cavaliers hurt without Dante Exum?
No, they won't miss nothing. No, next man up. No, they won't miss nothing without him. Them young dudes can go, and I think, you know, like the guy said, it's like, you know, I don't expect a lot of them. I expect them move up a couple notches. I just think at the end of the year they'll probably just be a 7-8 seed, but that's actually good for them. No.
All right, so we're going to move to the Chicago Bulls. We're going to start with D-Boy. What are your thoughts on the Chicago Bulls?
Well, you know, it's kind of like the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, we don't expect too much from them, but we do expect potential movements, like moving up in the seeds and stuff like that. You know, it's a pretty good team as of right now, you know, that we can see. Let's about 20 more games from now, and then we can talk about Chicago Bulls. Because we expect better than last year, but we don't expect too much.
All right, so with multiple reports stating that Zach LaVine has been on the rumor wire to be traded before the trade deadline in March, Emery, do you believe that the Bulls will move on from Zach LaVine? And if so, who is a suitable trade partner to get a fair return for Chicago Bulls?
You know, and Zach LaVine is probably, to me, the most underrated player in the NBA. And whoever pick him up is going to be a huge pickup. So if they move from them, I don't see them get – I see more of a step back what's going on right now. They missing a lot of pieces. They, you know, the man, he just – dealing with a very young core. It's like he's playing with the AAU team. And the bad thing is Zach Young himself, but he's the veteran on the team. So if they move from him, I don't see him getting any better. I don't see nothing. It's like they need to try to get him help more than anything. But the man is very underrated. I think he's the most underrated player in the NBA.
Wow. All right, so Sports Talk Day. So, I mean, looking at the Bulls roster, they got Zach LaVine, they got Patrick Williams, the rookie that just took out of Florida State, Kobe White from North Carolina, Lauri Markkanen, who was come back from last year, Otto Porter Jr. Came over in the trade from the Wizards. Garrett Temple came over in the trade from the Wizards, but looking at this roster, I don't see the Bulls winning probably 30 ball games. Sports Talk Dave, do you see the Bulls winning more than 30 ball games this year?
Actually, no. I think they're going to be their ceiling is going to be 25. I think they'll move on from Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine this season to make room for more playing time for their rookie and for Kobe White. Lauri Markkanen was he's not a bust. I'm going to label him as a bust. I'll label him as an underachieving pick. He had high expectations when he came into the league because of his size and skill set. And he's taken a step back, kind of like he's scared to let that out. So he's a disappointment. He's not a bust because he still shows a glimpse of what he can do in this league. Zach LaVine, as Emery said, he's an underrated player. That can, you know, him winning the gift and the curse of winning the dunk contest. He's falling under that. Remember, there's a lot of players that win the dunk contest and then they're labeled as only dunkers when they actually have a more skill set to themselves. Zach LaVine has a lot of skills. He is a very good perimeter player, but because of him and Aaron Gordon and Orlando's duels in the dunk contest, you get the stipulation of, oh, Zach LaVine is just a dunker. Plus, if you look at him in his early years in Minnesota, that's pretty much what he was doing, a slasher, finisher with dunks at the rim. But they will move on from Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen because simply they're not going to win more than 25 games. And those players don't need to be on a 25-win team. They can help a Clipper team. They could help a Portland team. They could help a Milwaukee team get over that hump.
Okay, I got a quick question. So, like, we all kind of agree on, like, on Zach LaVine, right? So, by us feeling that he's an underrated player, do y'all think it's because of the systems that he's fallen into? Like far Chicago, that's not a good system because of the type of player that he is and what he can provide. Same as way when he was with the team before. So, do you think if he goes to like a better pro, a better team, better organization, you think he'd be a better player? Or you think he was signed? You think he assigned better?
I think I've been watching him ever since he was at UCLA when he played 1 year. He always had that skill set. It was just the situations he was in. When he was in Minnesota, you know, everything was put on, their team was just young. So it was like he still was developing at the same time. He was in position that he was put on the back burner for Wiggins. But, you know, when he left and stuff like that, I think he just got the opportunity to show what he actually can do. But now it's just like Chicago is just – he's just there. And, you know, he's just dealing with a bunch of young players. So, yeah, he has to be the leader. But I think if he goes to somebody like a Portland or somebody like that, I think he would shine. I think he just got – just coming the right opportunity. But, yeah, that's why I just think. I just think he's just at the wrong – he's just been in the wrong places at the wrong time.
I agree. I think you need to be in a better system, you know, where somebody can actually – where it kind of like take – where it won't be no pressure on him, but give at the same time give him an opportunity to be the best that he can be. You know what I mean?
Is Zach LaVine the type of player that needs a veteran coach? Because I believe – I can't even remember who was his coach in Minnesota. I believe he had Tibbs for a couple years, and I can't remember the other guy's name. Now he got the another young guy in Chicago. Is LaVine the type of player that needs a veteran coach like a Greg Popovich or a Dwayne Casey or just a coach that's been around the league for X amount of years?
I just think he just needed to be playing. I don't even think when he first came in the league, you could have said that. But right now, no. I think he's learned enough and been in the NBA enough that he's fine. Now he can just it just depends where he just lands at. Now put him somewhere like say for instance a Cleveland. I think that's a perfect fit for him. You know, especially what they have, or you know you could just put. I say a Denver because Denver need a third option, bad, and I think he'll be. I think he'll be fine in Denver. You know, you still got the young dude still developing in Denver, but I think Denver would be a perfect fit. I just think right now he just needs to be in a win situation because he's just been in so many developmental situations. He's never just been a playoff or a meaningful game. He's just been playing 82 games. That's it.
All right. So we're going to move right along to the Indiana Pacers. Now, this is a team, Sports Talk Dave, that I really like outside of my hometown team, the Detroit Pistons. This team is loaded by Victor Oladipo, Domantas Sabonis, Miles Turner, T.J. Warren, Malcolm Brogdon, Doug McDermott, Aaron Holiday, who I like very well, his brother Justin Holiday, who I also like very well, Jeremy Lamb, who I felt was kind of – he did get a fair hand in Oklahoma City. I like this Indiana Pacers team. Sports Talk Day, what are your thoughts on the Pacers?
The Pacers have finished second in the division by default. They've got a solid starting five. What's going to break or make this team is their bench production. Jeremy Lamb's a good six man. T.J. McDonald is a decent backup to Malcolm Brogdon at the point. Like I said, by default, they'll finish second in the Central Division, but they could pound some heads. They will make the playoffs, but whether they'll be one and done is yet to see based on their bench production. And I'm only talking as they're constructed right now. We're not talking about possible trade, potential trades, injuries or anything of that nature. We're just talking about the here and now, what we foresee for the teams that they're built right now. And so for Indiana, I believe they'll win maybe 45 games, finish second in the Central Division. And like I said, whether they get out of the first round is based on their bench because their starting five can run with anybody starting five in the NBA.
Awesome. Emery, what are your thoughts on the Pacers?
It's like the past couple of years, it's like, you know, now you have a healthy Oladipo. It's like they missing something. I don't know what it is, but they missing like this one player to get them over the hump. They can match up with anybody. They like they starting five can match up with anybody. The main thing.
Hey, Emery, would you agree? Let me jump in real quick. Emery, would you agree a healthy Malcolm Brogdon and a healthy Victor Oladipo will make the difference that you're looking at because you got the Holiday boys backing them up? Would you not agree with that a healthy Malcolm Brogdon and Victor Oladipo will make all the difference from the last year's team?
And you're making a valid point. That's remained to be seen this year. And that this is the time that they actually are healthy. You know, so I totally agree with you. I got to see a little bit more of them. I only saw them a couple of times this year. You know, of course I watch them, you know. Tug Bowens from Saginaw, you know, he's the two-way player. So he jumps on the roster in and out. He stayed on the roster at the end of the year last year, you know. But this year he's still on the two-way contract. So he's still on the roster, but, you know, is this inning. So I always keep an eye on Indiana. I think this year, with them being healthy, this is going to answer a lot of our questions. But like you said, they started firing matching with anybody. You know, from top, from it's just, you know, the bench where they get that help.
All right. Once again, this is Sports Talk with DT and Dave live on IFM Radio Nation. Definitely want to give a shout out to my producer, Mr. Rolo Solo Dolo. He is the host of the R&R Show that appears every Wednesday and Friday night at 7 p.m. right here on IFM Radio Nation. D-Boy, with multiple reports stating that Victor Oladipo could potentially be headed out of Indiana. And then Oladipo comes out on his Instagram page and says that I'm to the Indiana Pacers. Do you buy into Oladipo's comments that he's committed to the Pacers just because he is on the roster and he don't want to look bad inside of the locker room? Or do you really believe that he is committed to the Indiana Pacers?
Well, nowadays you have the players more so in control of their contract. So to me, when you say that I'm committed to the team, I think that just blowing smoke, and you know, usually what comes out the smoke is fire. So that's like 50-50 right now. You know, everybody gonna say that just to make everything keep going smooth, and like you say, you don't wanna mess up the locker room. So, you know, that's in due time. We'll all see.
All right, so Emery, if the Pacers do decide to move on from Oladipo, do they move on before the deadline, or is this an off-season move?
I think with them healthy right now, I think you just got to ride this out during for the rest of the season. It has to be an off-season move. I don't see them making this move before a deadline. And I think it's an off-season move. That's just my opinion. But, you know, NBA a business. You never know what's going to happen at any given time.
And the reason okay. I say that is because before, if everybody could think back to last season, before COVID, before Victor got injured, Indiana was like number two in the Eastern Conference, number three overall in the Eastern Conference. Like they were popping teams left and right. So I don't understand why Oladipo could potentially want out. But you know, it just brought up the thought: is this something that Indiana could potentially look at before the deadline, or if they decide, will it be an off-season move?
Okay, well, like if they do move on from him, right? Like, what would be your option? What is you looking for to replace him? Because like go back to like what we was talking about earlier, as far as like how good would they be in the run and the standings and stuff like that. You know, like their bench is not all that strong, and I don't really know what they really need. I would assume that they need a strong big man that would get them over the hump, like a powerful big man. It don't matter if it's a power forward or a center. What would they need if you get rid of Oladipo? For what would you be looking for?
Sports Talk Dave, what do you got?
Anybody.
I'm at a loss because I don't see the value of Victor Oladipo leaving Indiana. Where he could land to? Again, I would say he'd be a third option wherever he go, based on the teams that possibly could trade for him, that have a package to trade for him. So I'd probably ride his contract out and go from there. That would be my assumption if I was Oladipo, because wherever you're going to go, you're not going to get what you want to be. You're not going to get any better situation than you are in Indiana, which is if you want to say the number two guy, but I think he's the number one option in Indiana. He's not going to go someplace else and be the number one guy.
So, I'm going to ask this question, then we're going to move right on. Hypothetically, let's just say the Indiana Pacers dials up
the Portland Trail Blazers. Do you guys agree or think that a CJ for Victor swap would be fair? Now we got Dame.
No,
no.
Did you say CJ McCollum for Victor Oladipo?
Yes, I did.
I don't think that'll be fair.
Portland's not going to agree to that at all.
CJ ain't going nowhere.
Wait. Portland passed up getting James Harden for CJ McCollum. What does that tell you?
Right. Exactly.
Well,
totally agree.
Emery, I'm going to go back to you on this one. If you could say one person was your biggest impact in the city of Saginaw up until this point in your life, who would it be?
The person that had the biggest impact for me?
Yes, sir.
In the city? My dad.
How impactful has your dad been to your life or instrumental?
Well, you know, he showed me how to be a man, how to run the household, you know, how to do things on your own without depending on nobody. But at the same time, having respect towards everybody and people having respect towards him. And it's just like how he just carried himself. You know, everybody loved my dad around the city. You know, it's so that he had the biggest impact, especially him 365 days out of the year, he raised me. You know, he didn't have no off days or nothing like that. He never made no excuses or nothing. He was just there. So, yeah, my dad.
So, who was some of the toughest competition that you played up against in the city of Saginaw? You know, everyone knows that the city of Saginaw, Michigan, is legendary. You know, everybody that I know coming out of Saginaw is a hooper. I mean, you have a lot of NBA greats come out of the city of Saginaw. Who was some of the toughest players you ever played against?
In my era, or you, or just all around?
Just all around in the city of Saginaw.
The toughest person, probably Terrence Roberson. That dude, just, you know, from inside, outside, he's 6'7". He really didn't have a weakness scoring. And, you know, he was just ahead of his time during our age. I'll say another person, Sid Morrell. He's just this floor general that just see everything. And this dude named Big Reg, you probably heard it. We call him Big Reg. This dude probably like about 360-380 pounds, 6'6", 6'7", and got like 1,000 post moves down low. And, you know, he was overseas. He played overseas. He went to St. Joe's. Man, this dude just gave everybody fits around you know, Saginaw. But, you know, it was just a pleasure just seeing, you know, the youth grow up, you know, far as Day-Day, you know, and Roberson and them, seeing them grow up, just taking over the city, you know, like how they did, and just, you know, just represent Saginaw.
What was it like? Now, I don't know if you ever played against them, but what was it like, or even if you hooped against them, Mark Macon? You know, Mark Macon, Detroit Piston great. He's also from the city of Saginaw, Michigan. And, I mean, I don't know if you know Mr. Macon, but what was it like seeing him in the city?
I grew up watching him. You know, I played pickup ball a couple of times. That's when that was probably like, you know, on his way out of the league when he was just bouncing around from team to team. That's when I actually just played. But I grew up watching him. He probably was the best defender far as Day-Day coming out of Saginaw. His defense was just ridiculous. And him coming from BV, from playing under Norian Reed, that's the first thing they teach is defense. But, you know, he had a motor. His motor was just like, he just didn't quit. His motor was ridiculous.
Wow. Hey, so how effective has Jason Richardson and Jamon Green's impact been on the city of Saginaw up until this point? No, because there have been multiple reports that Draymond Green, he donates basketball shoes to girls' teams, and does a lot of different things for the city of Saginaw, even now that he's a Golden State Warrior. And Jason Richardson, he gives back to the city of Saginaw all the time. So how beneficial is it for you to see a lot of people that have left the city and been successful, but they still make deposits in the city of Saginaw?
You know, Draymond, you know, as far as, you know, on the court, people just think he's just this, you know, evil person. But this man is probably one of the nicest people you'll meet. He will do anything for anybody. He you know, he show love. He don't act any black. When people that don't know him just talk about him, I'm like, man, y'all just don't know this guy off the court. He does things for everybody. He ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. He show love to everybody, and you know, he represents the city very well. Jason, you know, yeah, I played, you know, of course I played against him once, you know, he was in the NBA, you know, pickleball and stuff. Jason, more of a laid back person. He does things also, you know, really quiet, but you know, he loves his city. He always represented the city to the fullest. And you know, he when he had his Mr. Basketball run, you know, that was great for him. And then when he went to Michigan State, when he took off during that, when the college was playing the NBA, that's when he stood out. But yeah, Jason, he represents the city very well. He's a very classy person. Both of them are very classy, you know, off the court. You know, that's how I look at you. Of course, we see you on the court is how you represent yourself off the court. But both of them, they represent themselves very well and very well mannered.
All right. Hey, we got to pay some bills. So we're going to go to commercial, and we're going to be right back. But as we go to commercial, I want you all to listen to my man all the way from Port Arthur, Texas, Mr. Glancy Kelly. You can catch him on the R&R show on every Wednesday and Friday night with his hit single, Tell Me. We'll be back on Sports Talk with DT and Dave. Yo, we back. It's your boy Sports Talk DT, and we are live on IFM Radio Nation. Hey, so we're going to get right into the NCAA championship game with the rumors coming out that a lot of players from Ohio State have now tested positive for COVID-19, and the game might be delayed to Inauguration Monday, which is the same day President Joe Biden gets inaugurated into office, potentially, with all of the legal stuff going on. Needless to say, the Alabama Crimson Tide thinks that the Ohio State University is kind of just pushing the COVID as a joke or a smokescreen to get Justin Fields back. So we're going to just jump right into that conversation. We're going to go to Emory. What are your thoughts on the NCAA title game being potentially moved back?
Well, with this COVID stuff, you can't play with it. Everybody has to take it serious, and that's why we're in the situation we in right now, because people not taking it serious. So for Alabama just calling them saying that, that's some BS. It's like how do they know that? They just going off an assumption. But if they was in the same situation, they would want the same thing happening, the same leeway happened for them as well. So it's like, if it is a COVID situation, we all have to respect it. It's nothing just to play with. Like I said, it's like, if we were just taking this serious a long time ago, we wouldn't be in the situation where we is today.
All right, so D-Boy, what are your thoughts on Alabama stating that Ohio State is really just using it as a smokescreen so Justin Fields can get better?
Well, let's say Justin Fields won there when they won their last game, was he? So is they really using that for an excuse? You know what I mean? I don't know, man. Because to piggyback what Emory said, man, that's 50-50. They could be using that for an excuse, but, you Alabama, why would you be using that for an excuse? And, this COVID is serious, and you can't play with it, So that's a ski situation. So I don't know,
All right, so Sports Talk Dave, I actually got the comments of Nick Saban's daughter, and I'm going to read them, then I want you to respond to them. She said, if you're not confident to play, then say it. I call BS on the COVID cases. They're just worried about their quarterback and want him to have more time to heal. If he is hurt, put in your backup. You didn't see us postpone the rest of the season to wait for their wide receiver, Jalen Waddle, to get better. Hashtag bye. What are your thoughts on Nick Saban's daughter comments about about Justin Fields being injured? Fuck them.
First of all, what is her position in Alabama football?
Right. She's just the daughter of
the coach. It's a rhetorical question because, first of all, shut up. That's what she needs to do. Shut up. You don't play football. You haven't played football. You haven't coached. You haven't prepared this team in any capacity this whole season. Shut up. Second of all, who is to say when you're talking about COVID, who's playing and who's not? If you're playing with it, you shouldn't be. It's a worldwide pandemic. Millions of people have lost their lives to it. So it's nothing to play with. But if I'm Nick Saban and my daughter does that, my daughter is going to – I will openly, publicly let her know, honey, be quiet. Shut up. That's not your place. if a player said that, that's one thing. But for you as a fan, that's basically what you are, a fan. Shut up.
Well,
you're insulting a program, and you're calling them playing fake on a national, worldwide pandemic. That's insulting. That's insulting for someone who has no. She didn't prepare this team. She hasn't coached. Shut up. That's just irritating for someone on the sidelines. That's like when we playing pickup ball, and Emory, you can attest to this. You might not share the same sentiment, but you can attest to this. You've been there when you're in a pickup game, and somebody's girl is on the sideline, and she's talking crap on his behalf. Shut up, honey. He out here. He getting cooked. He either cooking somebody or he getting cooked. Shut up, honey. Shut up. That's not your place. Cheer your man up. Cheer him up when he gets his ass whooped to the sideline. Right. There you go. Play your position. That's exactly what it is. And she's not playing her position. And if Ohio State is playing with this worldwide pandemic, they're wrong. Shame on them.
Well, okay. Let me be the devil's advocate in here. I'm gonna use the outside of the COVID situation. We all know that's a serious situation right now. And you know, no one should be playing with that at all, or taking risks or whatever at all. Okay, now just outside of that, I look at it. I would take it as let's say the Michael Jordan model. I'm looking at it as if I was Ohio State or whatever. I'm looking at it as energy. I'm gonna take that. I'm gonna use that what you giving me to kick your butt with it. That's how I'm gonna look at it.
You already seen what Ohio State did with Dabo.
Funny you said that, because Dabo Sweeney stuck his foot in his mouth.
I was telling you, you seen what they did with Dabo Sweeney's comments. So
Dabo Sweeney ran on his mouth.
Wait a minute,
now. Number 11,
wait,
Greg,
wait
11.
Wait a minute. We talking about a fan. We talking about the daughter. We ain't talking about the coach. You get me? So
it's still
bulletin
board material.
I get you. So that's even added heat to the fire for a fan to even think that she has the place to say something. Shut up. Be a fan.
Hey, it's college. You know, it's rivalry. Wait, it's to geek each other up. So if she want to use that to stick her foot in her mouth, we're gonna use it to beat upside your head. Then we're gonna use that as energy to build my team, to build us up, and we're gonna take this trophy home. You hear me? That's how I look at it.
All right,
they say Michael Jordan used anything. If you don't look at me, I'm gonna use that to beat you up with it. So hey, let's take this home.
Hello? DT, before you go to shout-outs, Emory, what's your pick for the championship game?
I got Ohio State. I got Ohio State by 3 points.
D-Boy.
I got Ohio State, too, just because of that incident right there. They're going to use that for animosity. They're going to use that to geek them up. That's energy.
DT,
I got Ohio State winning, too.
I'm taking Ohio State as well, even though I'm a Michigan State fan, but I'm taking Ohio State in this for the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah, Big Ten. Got to ride with the Big Ten. Most definitely ride with the Big Ten.
So this weekend is wild card weekend. I'm going to go through the wild card games and just give me a pick on who you guys think going to win. I'm going to start in the AFC. Sports Talk Day, we got Baltimore and Tennessee. Who you got?
Tennessee.
Emory, who you got?
Tennessee, can't nobody stop Henry. They don't have nobody stop Henry.
D-Boy, who you got? Baltimore or Tennessee?
I'm going to be the devil's advocate again. I think Baltimore want to get their leg back.
All right. We got the Browns, and I'm going with Tennessee as well. It's just a natural progression, 3-1. That got Tennessee advancing to the second round to play against the Chiefs. And we got the Browns Steelers in a rematch of Week 17. Emory, who you got?
No, Steelers my team, man. I'm riding or die. Ride or die Steelers fan. You already know.
D-Boy, where you going, Cleveland or Pittsburgh?
Okay, like I told you earlier, DT, I'm always an underdog fan. But when it comes to playoffs, I always ride with the veterans. So I'm going to go with the Steelers.
Dave, where you going?
Steelers.
I'm going with the Steel Curtain as well. So we got Buffalo and Indiana. Who you got? Dave.
Buffalo.
I got Buffalo as well. Emery, who you got?
This is my upset pick. I'm going with Indianapolis.
Wow. D-Boy, where you got?
You know, I was on the borderline, too. I was thinking Indiana, but I think Buffalo Mafia is going to pull this one off.
All right, moving on to the NFC. We got Tampa Bay and Washington. I'm going with Tom Brady. D-Boy, where you got?
Yeah, I'm a hometown favorite. Anything that got to do with Michigan, come on, Tom Brady, do your thing.
Emery, where you going?
Tampa.
Dave, where you going?
Bucks.
All right, so that was set up Green Bay and Tampa Bay second round game. We got the Rams and the Seahawks. I'm going with Russell in that game. Emery, where you going?
Seahawks.
D-Boy, where you going?
Going with the veteran, Seahawks.
Dave, where you going?
Seahawks.
And we got Chicago and the Saints, and I'm going with Drew Brees. I'm sure everybody got the Saints in that one, right?
Yeah.
Of course. That's a laughable game.
All right, so we got Tennessee moving to play Kansas City. We got Pittsburgh playing the Bills. We got Green Bay and Tampa Bay in the second round. And we have a potential Seattle and the Saints in the second round. Hey, so we out of time for tonight. I thank everyone for being on the show tonight, everyone for their input. Next week, we're going to see what happens in Wild Card Weekend and try to break this bracket down a little bit further. D-Boy, go ahead and give your shout-out.
Oh, well, first, number one, give all shout-outs to all fans and all support. Please continue. And I would like to give a shout-out to Emery, Sports Star Day, Sports Star DT, Rolo Dolo, and the rest of our crew. That'll be it.
All right. Emery, go ahead and give your shout out. Anybody you want to shout out, anybody you want to say what up to, go ahead.
I'll just shout out just the brotherhood that we just created with each other. We can do some powerful things when we stick with each other. Just shout out to the brotherhood. We just need each other at this moment.
I agree.
All right, that's powerful. That's powerful. Brotherhood is everything, especially in this day and age we're living in. Sports Talk Day. Go ahead,
Hey, yo, I just want to shout out the platform of Sports Talk with DT and Dave. Loving the new name. I want to thank Emery for coming on and D-Boy as always. Want to give a shout out to Rolo and Tina behind the scenes doing the ones and twos and giving us some heads up and things of that nature. So thank you for that. Happy New Year to everybody and keep on supporting Sports Talk with DT and Dave. Well, once again, I will never stop saying this. If you care about yourself, if you care about your loved ones, mask up if you have to go out. If you don't have to go out, then stay at home. This is serious. This is life-threatening. People are dying every day, every minute of the day from this worldwide pandemic. So show your true love for your human beings, your family, yourself. Mask up if you have to go out, and if you don't, stay home and keep it 100.
I definitely want to give a shout out to my producer, Mr. Rolo Solo Dolo, my friend, Mr. Emery Wafer, from taking time out of his schedule to call in. The entire Sports Talk team, Ms. Tina T behind the scenes on the ones and twos, the NBS Hoop League, Infinity Basketball Hoop League. Shout out to my man, Mr. Charlie Rollins, who just won Coach of the Year in the Infinity Basketball League. Congratulations to you. Good luck to you in your playoff series this weekend. Shout out to my kids, Destiny and Demaya, who's at home listening to the show. Daddy, love you. And, you know, Happy New Year to everyone. Mask up, stay safe. And we'll see you all next week right here on IFM, Radio Nation. You all have a good night.
You too. Thank you.